PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Gee, the lack of humility before nature that's being displayed here staggers me.
Well, thank you, Dr. Malcolm, but I think things are a little bit different than you and I had feared.
Yeah, I know. They're a lot worse.
Now, wait a second. Now, we haven't even seen the party.
Don't let him talk. There's no reason. No, I want to hear every viewpoint. I really do.
Yeah, don't you see the danger, John, inherent in what you're doing here? Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
It's hardly appropriate to start hurling generalizations.
If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You know, you read what others had done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You want to sell it. Well,
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 267 of Cinema Crespediso. Yeah! How you guys doing? I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio, doing our thing for PFT Media, the PFT Radio Network. Shout out to those guys, whoever they are. I have no idea. Drew Sacogra and Drew!
PFT Media's guys are a bunch of jerks. That's who they are.
Hey, listen to management. They know what's best. Management knows what's best.
Do they?
Speaking of management, here's your threat update. Current threat level is black. Your current threat level is black. End your inadequacies. End them, Drew.
I can't.
End them.
They're so much a part of me.
End them. They are a part of you.
So much.
They're interwoven into your very being. Drew, we have a first-time guest. You know I love having first-time guests on here. It's a big pleasure of mine to meet someone for the very first time just outside the studio and then get to know them whilst doing the show. And this person is now part of the PFT Radio family. So exciting. From the State of the Beer Union podcast and hosting comedy at the Broken Cauldron and at the Abbey Bar in the Land, ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Joe is here. Yeah!
Hey guys, it's really great to be here.
Thanks for your comment, Leslie. We appreciate it. Yay! How you doing?
great. Awesome.
Thank you so much. This is your first time on. We're going to have a good time. You said you don't watch too many movies.
No.
But that's fine. I mean, true. How many people do we have on here that don't really watch movies?
Probably about 50%
right,
or more of our guests.
At least 50% or more.
At least.
Because that's the type of show we do. While it is a movie show, it's for everyone. We're all here just to have a good time and crack some jokes.
Awesome. I like movies. I just don't necessarily watch a lot of them.
That's the thing with movies. Most people like them.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to like make their whole freaking life about them and like sit in a room surrounded by movie stuff. But most people are going to be like, oh, what do you want to do? Maybe watch a movie?
Yeah.
It's a viable entertainment option.
I'd be in one. That'd be cool.
A lot of people love, even people who don't like movies, like, I still want to be in one. Yeah, sure. It's like, what? You either watch a movie or you go mini golfing and it's raining.
I mean, same thing.
Let's watch a movie. It's practically the same thing.
Same.
Mini golf. Mini movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Same thing. Leslie, thank you for joining us. People can check out State of the Beer Union every week. You just did episode 5?
We did, yeah.
So exciting, man. Already 5 episodes in with Ed Urban.
Ed Urban and Etchy.
And good old Steve Etchy. What's it like working with that guy week in, week out?
It's a lot of fun. Steve brings a fun energy to life in general.
Yes, he does. And strong opinions.
Yeah, and
which,
Ed's
which
fun.
Which I enjoy.
Ed brings us beer.
That's important. For a beer show, too. That's very helpful.
But yeah, our show is different. It's like we're not just sitting around drinking beer. We're more talking about like what's going on in the beer industry.
Yes. You just had that one about the copyright issue between Keystone and Stone Brewery.
That's right. Yeah.
They're very interesting stuff. Have you heard about this, Drew?
Yes.
Yeah. It's water. Keystone. What are they thinking?
I was here for that discussion with Edgy. I was in the room.
That's right. We talk about that in the room.
It's quite possibly a horrible beer. The worst beer I've had.
I mean, one of the
Keystone's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I mean, it's right up there with your natural ices, your your Miller High Lifes, your
yes.
Well, I mean, think of what you drank in college.
Bush.
I mean, I don't
straight
care.
Bush.
I'll drink a Miller High Life.
But it's the champagne.
You will,
beers.
Though?
I will.
It's not you
that
will. Good.
It's got that, like, weird nostalgia that I don't hate it. You know what? Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with a comedian yesterday, and we ordered a PBR because we're poor. We're comedians.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he put a lime in the PBR.
What?
The comedian or the bartender?
The comedian. And I tried it, and you know what? I think I'm converted.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, the same thing with the Corona, right? You throw a lime in there.
Well, yeah, but you have to put the lime in the Corona or it's undrinkable.
But you're not, but that, you know, you're not supposed to do that. The reason they put the lime in the bottle is to keep the flies out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But then we as Americans, we shove the lime into the bottle because we don't got to worry about flies.
No.
We just want to make our beer drinkable.
Bacteria on the rim.
That too.
The acidity, the bacteria in the room?
Like, back whenever there was a... Well, it is an import, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess in Mexico, they would have, like... They would need the lime to get the shit off the rim.
Interesting. So many reasons for adding lime. So add a lime to your PBR is the Leslie Joe tip of the week.
No, that's...
Tip of the week!
I blame Clayton Anderson for that.
We'll blame it on Clayton Anderson! The Clayton Anderson tip of the week. Add a lime to your PBR. PBR, a through standard, what is it, standard motorcycle here in town? Standard mm-hmm. House, through Standard House. PBR is sponsor of the What's the Fuss podcast. So guys, check out What's the Fuss. And put a lime in your coconut. Right?
That's something else.
That's something else.
I mean, you put a lime in anything.
I guess you could put a lime pretty much in it. Not in anything.
In your eye.
It's acidic.
Put a lime in your eye.
I was going to say.
For an external use only.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, that's what that means. External, internal. I was wondering what that meant. Guys, we have a show to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we are going to start with the streaming pick of the week. So let me pump up the volume and do this.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso Streaming.
That's right, the Cinema Crespediso Streaming Pick of the Week. We let you know what you can watch on Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, Red is a thing, etc., etc. Leslie, go ahead and let everyone know what is this week's Netflix Pick of the Week.
It says Requiem for a Dream on Amazon.
Oh my God.
So weird. I was literally just talking about this movie yesterday.
You mean it's in the air, Drew?
About how, you know, it gives you those dirty, dirty, dirty feels.
Like, all the throughout feels. The,
like, in the bones.
It gives you the feels,
the dirty feels in the bones.
Have you ever seen Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah, and the soundtrack still messes with my head.
That Clint Mansell soundtrack. Yeah, that first real big Clint Mansell soundtrack. Music's so good, they actually use some of it for the marketing for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you trying to remind me of? Lord of the Rings people.
Yeah. Fucking my head too.
Gandalf holding a staff. And, it's like,
and I'm just like, oh,
what? Reckon for a Dream, adaptation of a Hubert Selby Jr. novel. Fantastic novel as well. He's a great novelist. Probably best known for Last Exit to Brooklyn. Which is another messed up movie.
It's a fun movie.
I mean, Jared Leto's movie, though, The Requiem.
Yes, Jared Leto is in it. Jared Leto, Jennifer Connelly, Marlon Wayans.
Kills doing it in
great,
that movie.
Doing great. Ellen Burstyn nominated for Best Actress. I can't remember if she won. I don't think she did. who else in that movie? Mark Margolis, now best known for the wheelchair. What's his name? Hector Salamanca on Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Great cast. Great cast. Low budget film directed by Darren Aronofsky. His second film after Pi, but before The Fountain. I think The Fountain was his big movie. And it's a tough movie about addiction.
Oh, it's rough.
And Connelly Wayans and Leto play heroin users.
Yeah.
Leto's mom, Ellen Burstyn, is on diet pills. So meth. Just meth.
Yeah, amphetamines.
And, what a bummer.
There's a lot of heroin happening around. There's, problems. They're trying to make the opioids go away, I guess.
Right.
So it's just an interesting choice, I think, to put that on your TV that you can watch now.
It is interesting. Yeah. It actually seems to be, unfortunately, more relevant now than you would think. Junkies like that seems like so 80s, 90s.
It was.
The opioid thing is worse now than ever.
Well, and that's because of prescription painkillers, because they're the same thing.
Yes, which this movie then touches on with her getting their diet pills from a doctor.
Yeah.
So she's like, these aren't drugs. This is medicine, but it's ruining her life.
They're drugs.
So this movie's 15 years old, 16 years old, and the book is even older.
Yeah.
And it's still, unfortunately,
insanely relevant.
I feel like it's something we should be making people watch.
Yeah.
We should put it on the homeroom in school should start with this movie.
I'm not sure if homeroom in school should start, but
starting in middle school.
At some point in time, you should be made to, sit down and watch this and be by the way, addiction.
Let's eliminate the DARE program and then just show kids Requiem for a Dream.
I love it. Eliminate DARE. Yeah. Yes. Incorporate marijuana. Require Requiem for a Dream.
Make kids smoke joints and then watch them. Make them watch Requiem for a Dream. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good solution.
It is. I like it.
There we go. That'll get America back on the right track. You really want to make America great again. There we go.
Yeah.
Make America stoned again.
Make America high again. But not too high that they can't function. Requiem for a Dream. What was the deal you said on Amazon?
Yeah.
It's on Hulu, Amazon, and Epix.
Multiple ways for people to get fuck up their night.
Depending on who they are, maybe fuck up their entire year.
It could be fucking up your year, especially if you haven't seen the movie before. But it's Darren Aronofsky. It's super well made. Oh, so good. And it's early in his career, so he's throwing a lot of cinematic tricks at the screen. A couple things that have been stolen by other people in other movies and TV shows.
That shot of the eye, the pupil dilating, has been done over and over.
Before him?
No, after him.
He was
groundbreaking.
Yeah, he was the one who did it.
He was the one who did the first shot to indicate drugs entering a system, a close-up of an eyeball and the pupil blowing up. And then that was even parodied on the Simpsons. Yeah. So
I don't think I realized that was his second movie. That's kind of important.
It is kind of wild. And it's his second movie, but his first one was Pi, which is him and his friends, and it's a black and white film. So this is his first one working with professionals and actual actors and people who expect him to be on his game on set, which can be intimidating for some filmmakers. Why they never really get past a certain level of filmmaking. Aronofsky obviously has gone on to make gigantic blockbuster films about Noah.
So. Yeah, I was about to say about rock monsters.
Yeah, about rock monsters. So he knows his way around a movie set. Requiem for a Dream, fantastic. There we go. Give me the shudders with that one. All right. Box office recap. Here we go. Let's talk about some money. That's right, box office dollar bills. We could talk about a lot of money in a second.
Oh yeah,
a lot of money.
Yeah, I like money.
Who doesn't?
So much of it.
Marxist, communist pigs. That's who don't like money. We here,
the goddamn
are,
Reds.
We are pure, 100% capitalist here on Cinema Crespi. So we embrace the C's. Both stand for capitalism. Did you know that? CC. Capitalism.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what the C's stand for. We love the monies. That's why we're gonna talk about box office. Drew, number 5.
Not that we saw it, but number 10 is Samson, Chris.
Oh, I did want to... Samson. I want to see Samson.
It made $1.9 million.
On how many screens?
It's on 1,200.
All right, so that's technically a wide release, but it's not that many screens. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention
and
that.
And it made over $1 million?
Almost two!
I've never even heard of it.
Exactly. We saw one trailer.
Yes.
We saw the trailer once, a month ago. Uh-huh. And then I've never seen a commercial. Nope. They actually made a Samson movie.
Yeah.
I want to see it. just that's Samson. Okay.
It's your movie, Chris.
All right, number 10.
You wrote it.
I know. They stole it. And then they give me no credit.
Number five this week.
That's what happens with the public domain. Yeah. You can't
the 1517 to Paris. Made $7.6 million. Total 25.
That Clint Eastwood movie hanging around getting slagged. The hook of the movie is that it used the real heroes from this actual thwarted train, whatever was going on. Mm-hmm. They used the actual heroes. That was the hook of the marketing. And then the movie comes out, and all the reviews are like, "Oh, these guys are not good actors. You did a disservice to your movie by putting these people in. You tried to honor them, and by doing so, dishonored the entire endeavor of art. Mm-hmm. Shame on you, Clint Eastwood."
Number four this week.
When's he gonna die anyway? 90 years old.
He's old.
He's making a movie now too. He's making another one.
Jumanji: Welcome to the Jungle.
Maybe that's what's keeping him alive.
Maybe additional $7.9 million.
Keep working.
I would watch that.
Total of 377.
The Jumanji. I'm gonna, when it comes on like DVD or home video, I'm definitely checking it out because it's made so much money. People like it.
Well, I made $377 domestic. Another $527 foreign. Almost. $900 million.
Woo! That's a lot of...
What Robin Williams just did one recently. Is that a redo?
Yeah, Robin Williams was in the only... The Jumanji original was 96, I want to say. Mm. And while it was kind of a popular movie, it didn't make money. And then they did Zathura, A Space Adventure, without Robin Williams.
With Dax Shepard.
With Dax Shepard. So rightfully, no one saw that. Mm-hmm. And then this thing was huge. I think it's a combination of Jumanji is a popular thing, just the idea of Jumanji, and then The Rock and Kevin Hart together.
Oh.
I think that's...
That's worth it for me.
Yeah. I even saw that movie. They were in Central Intelligence, where the movie itself was like, this movie stinks. But those two together are fantastic. I will watch
those
the
two individually,
out of
them. I think, are fantastic.
I'm a fan. I'm on the record as being a fan of both. I think everyone likes The Rock. Kevin Hart's more divisive for whatever reason. I am a fan of both.
I am a huge fan of Kevin Hart.
And put them together, I think it works, man. So yeah, I got it. I'm going to get around to it. Also, Jack Black, I like Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Number three this week.
Number three!
50 Shades Freed. Mm-hmm. Made an additional $16.9 million, total of 76.
50 Shades Freed.
I have no interest in watching that.
Mm. Have you ever seen the first one?
Yeah.
That
was awful.
It's unfortunate.
I don't like to admit that.
No.
I admit it. Let people know that I'm hating on it, rightfully
because
I saw it.
It was garbage.
I saw it.
It was awful.
With an open mind. I'm like, maybe there's something here.
Nope.
There was nothing there.
It wasn't even sexy, Chris.
It's like a bunch of horny housewives.
Yes.
Not even.
Well, I think the people who
checked that out are the horny housewives. Well, yes. The people who still saw the third one.
Or they're too afraid to tell their boyfriend they like BDSM.
Yeah, but is it even BDSM in these movies? Barely.
The books, I suppose.
The books are more so, I guess. Just because you have like one leather restraint and then you break out a horse whip thingy doesn't mean all of a sudden you're a BDSM. I can't tell you.
So how much does this movie make? How much did that movie make?
Total of $76 million.
Shit. So barely, it's going to crawl to 100. It's definitely law of diminishing returns with the 50 Shades movies.
Another 190 foreign, so 266 total.
The Russian culture, minister of culture, used this movie as an example of how Russian theater exhibitors are showing too many foreign films. Mm-hmm. And he was like, just this past weekend, 50 Shades Freed was on 70% of theaters. I couldn't find any local Russian films. What does this great masterpiece of cinema say about the world that it has to be on so many Russian screens? So he's taking a shot there at 50 Shades Freed, which is really funny.
Sweet.
But then he's picking a movie where it's like, people in America are like, yeah, sure, you can shit on this movie. We don't care. It's also not our fault that your theater owners are showing this movie almost exclusively.
Yeah, talk to them, not us.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
Number two this week.
There's obviously a demand for it.
Obviously a demand for this shit film in your crappy country because it's so cold and everyone's got to love Putin. Yeah. Everyone's got to... Every time... You know, in Russia, this is a fact. Guys, this is a true fact. In Russia, when you use the bathroom, if you take a shit, you have to, like, look... There's a picture of Putin in every bathroom. You have to look him in the eyes as you shit.
While you shit.
Yeah, while you shit.
That's too much for me.
That's Russian law.
That is weird.
And if you don't do it, they will come knocking.
Then the picture knows.
They send you. You got a fine in the mail. Like, it's like a red light camera. You got a fine in the mail.
No. So you're like, I'm the ruler. I can make any rule I want. Yep. I want people to look in my eyes when they take a shit.
When they shit. But it has to be. If it's only a fart and you look in his eyes, then you have to write an apology and then mail it to the Kremlin.
No.
Yeah, it's bad over there. It's really bad. Shout out to our listeners in Moscow.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit.
Made $17.2 million. Total 48.
Is this his second weekend?
Yes.
No. Yeah, right? It came
it's
out
like
two
a weekend
weeks ago.
At number two as well.
Ooh. Two at two for Peter Rabbit. The old two and two. Who is that? Chuck Woolery? You know Chuck Woolery is a right-wing asshole?
No.
He is. Just look up his Twitter account. He's on Twitter. That's how you know who are real monsters.
Oh, Twitter.
Look at their Twitter accounts. Chuck Woolery, human monster. Moving on.
Number one this week.
Here we go. That's what I want to talk about.
So this movie...
This is what we want to talk about.
If you take the rest... If you take all the other movies that were out this week...
Combine their totals.
You double that.
Double it.
And then you... Add $40 million.
Add another $40 million.
And then you get Black Panther, which made $192 million in 3 days.
Yay, that's Damn. A lot of money. That's a lot of money. That's crazy. That's more than... That's past Batman. That's more than Batman money.
It's the fifth biggest opening of all time.
The only movies that have bigger opening... We're talking Avatar. Uh-huh. We're talking the two Avengers. Yep. Jurassic World.
That's it.
Titanic.
No, Titanic had an opening weekend of... 70 million.
Titanic had that long money.
Yeah, Titanic just kept making $20 million. The Afrofuturism of Black Panther is like something that adds... What? Can you name another movie?
No.
That even comes close to the design, the aesthetic of this
film. No. I mean, it's like if you were... It reminds me of like the Blade Runner universe, but like in Africa. It's like it's the future, man.
It's cool.
I have to see it now.
It's very cool designs. You know, the action's okay. It's just the action's kind of typical.
Typical Marvel action.
That might actually be the weakest part of the movie. Probably action scenes, which is says a lot about the movie.
Although I don't know the
good characterization, a good story, a good villain, which is very important.
Those armored rhinos were pretty cool.
Armored rhinos. They're like, what? Armored rhinos? It's got the guy from Get Out.
Yep.
Isn't it? Did you see Get Out?
I did. I did actually liked that movie a lot.
It's good, right? The dude that's in that is in this. Mm-hmm. He plays the head of Wakandan border security.
And the boyfriend or the airport guy?
The boyfriend.
Okay.
And he's all like, we can't let the refugees in Wakanda. They're going to bring their problems with them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, movie's going to go there.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it's fun. It
goes everywhere.
It's fun. It sets up this whole idea of xenophobia and isolationism and international outreach and stuff like that, all in the guise of a superhero movie.
Is that Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Look at me, I know something.
You know things, and he's good. He's really good in it, and it's a great role. He plays a guy called Eric Killmonger, and they have to like bend over backwards to explain that name.
Yeah, they know. Because, it's a silly name.
It's a silly name, buddy. We mentioned this on the spoiler episode that Drew and I released. If you want to hear all the details about the movie, we did a whole separate episode about that. And on that episode, I explained, I think we both are Team Killmonger.
Mm-hmm.
We both side with the villain.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's cool. So you have your own little episode that is all spoilers.
All spoilers. It's like 30, it's over 30 minutes long, and we talk about the movie. We talk about who lives, who dies, what happens, et cetera, et cetera.
That's cool.
So that's for the people who have seen the movie already or who just don't care.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
But here, this is for a wider audience, spoiler free. We're saying that we like it and people should go see it, right, Drew?
Oh, yeah. I mean, $192
million,
Chris.
$192 million!
So there's got to be like at least another $192 million out there just waiting to be spent.
I would think so. That would put it at, $400 million dollar movie.
Hell yeah.
It beats Deadpool's record of February opening weekend.
Yep.
Deadpool opened at like 155, so this blows it away, actually. Did you see Deadpool?
No.
That's a fun one.
That's a whole lot of fun.
If you're interested in a superhero who is at least open to the idea of pegging, then Deadpool is your...
Oh, he's definitely open to
the idea. Interesting. I mean, he gave it a shot. He tried.
Yeah, he tried.
He seemed like not to be into it, but...
No, but he tried.
He tried.
Yeah.
He's open.
He's definitely into a lot weirder shit than that now.
Now you can withstand some punishment.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
So, Oscars is coming up.
Yes, it is.
What month would you say is the best time to release a movie?
If you want it to get awards, if you want it to make money. Those are two different things.
Oh, so those can't be mutually exclusive?
It's hard to, especially these days, to have a movie that is an awards-based movie, but it's also going to like appeal to a lot of people and make a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want a movie that is for, quote, the Academy, then December is your month. November, December. Anytime between October to December.
Okay.
The reason being that in January is when they vote,
uh-huh.
So you want your movie to still be fresh.
Right, that makes sense.
If you want your movie to make money... depending on the type of movie it is, there are certain weekends throughout the year, but the summer is like your typical That's why it's the blockbuster season. Almost every other weekend is these movies that cost like $150 million freaking dollars to make.
And it's because people have more free time during the summer.
That's true.
Which is funny because back in the day, before 1975, summer was the dead season for movies. Mm-hmm. Because the rationale is that, no, families are going on vacation. They're not going to want to spend the sunny summer days inside a movie theater.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. But
as
then,
a Florida kid, I always did.
Yeah, it's too damn hot out there. Spielberg came around and he made his summer movie, Jaws, released in 1975 in the summer, turned a summer movie into an event. The summer blockbuster
was
born.
Kids too.
Scared the crap out of kids. And then producers realize, oh wait, kids aren't in school. If they like a movie, maybe they'll go see it multiple times so we can make more money. The summer blockbuster is born. And it got switched. Just like how movie trailers that we see before movies used to play at the end of movies.
I mean, they're called trailers.
Which is why they're called trailers, because they trailed movies.
But
now they're previews. Now they call them movie previews, but we still call them trailers because they're typically called trailers.
I never really understood why they called it a trailer, but that makes more sense.
Yeah, because they used to trail a movie. That also used to be a whole program back in the day. You buy one ticket, you walk in, they'd show you a couple of cartoons, a newsreel, a short, like a comedy short, and then the movie that you wanted to see, you know, and then they would throw in little movie previews throughout the whole thing.
Right on.
It was way more fun time back then. Now we just get us our movie and get out of here. So Black Panther, we both agree, go see it. It made a lot of money, right, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Go see it.
I can't believe how much money. I knew it was going to make a lot of money, Chris.
I was expecting 150 to 165. That was the window I was expecting. So 190 is like, that is wild. That is wild.
And
crazy wild stuff.
And you're looking like cumulatively, or like, are you just interested in what the first weekend did?
No, we'll keep track of it as long as it's in the top five, top ten.
Well, I mean,
and then, you know, the bigger movies, it's fun to see, like,
how far they go.
Yeah, like Beauty and the Beast made so much money last year, and it would have been the number one movie of 2017 if not for Star Wars The Last Jedi, which came in at the very end and, like, just crushed things.
Are they going to win awards?
Beauty and the Beast has a chance.
Beauty and the Beast has
Star Wars will not win anything.
Beauty and the Beast may win, like, a song award, maybe a... I would have said maybe costume, except for Phantom Thread.
Yeah, you're right.
A movie about costumes
has
to win the costume award, at the very least.
Yeah.
So even those movies, the ones that made the most amount of money, they may get a technical award or two. Now, like Transformers, people are like, oh, you know, it's not supposed to be an Academy Award winning movie, Transformers.
The special effects.
They actually are Academy Award winning movies.
They are.
They won for the special effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, not for writing or anything, but
of course not.
They have Oscars. You know, what are you going to do? New movies on DVD. The magnum opus that is Daddy's Home 2 comes out on home video this week, guys.
Thank the Lord.
Hey, Mel Gibson's back and better than ever, man. Sugar tits, anti-Semitism, misogyny. Get out of here. He's in a comedy. He's in a family comedy. Isn't that great?
With John Lithgow.
The go-go Lithgow. Guys, he's so good.
That sounds weird.
Lithgow is so good. Have we all forgiven Mel Gibson now? Have we forgiven him?
I mean,
erased him from my memory.
But he wants back in, Leslie. He wants back in your memories. He's working on The Passion of the Christ, too.
Oh, you know, God.
Good for him.
Yeah, which would be about the 40 post days. Because in the Bible, right, he dies. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, he rises, Easter Sunday.
Yep.
And then there's like a whole 40-day window where he's popping up like...
everywhere.
He's like, yo, what's up, dude? I'm back! He's like, listen to this shit! He's like, what's up? Holy Ghost. So maybe it's about that specifically. I don't know. Maybe it'll be about Paul. The Bible is a big book.
I hope The End of Days comes before that.
No.
Yeah, me too.
You know who else does hope that? Mike Pence.
He's hoping for that
as well. As all those other wonderful shout out to our evangelical listeners. Are you guys listening? Please stop. Okay, here we go.
They did not see Black Panther.
Or if you did, what did you think about it?
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Hashtag thoughts and prayers for your evangelical thoughts on Black Panther. Daddy's Home 2 is coming out. They've forgiven Mel Gibson, I would think. You know, they don't.
More than likely.
They probably never even ostracized them to begin with.
Yeah.
Hashtag Mel Gibson was right. If you're an evangelical Christian and you listen to the show, hashtag Mel Gibson was right on Twitter at Chris Woody. So, Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Game Night.
Game Night, yes, this looks interesting. It's a group of 30-something couples get together for the typical game night. But this guy is like, this is a different game night. Have you ever seen the movie The Game? It's going to be like that. And then they
And
then it's like
things,
the game.
But then I think things go wrong for real.
What genre is this? Horror?
Comedy.
Dark comedy. Comedy.
Sorry, yeah. Being in a relationship playing games with other couples seems like a horror.
It does. That's true. Who's a couple? It's Jason Bateman and
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, that's adorable.
They are adorable, right? Come on. And then in the trailer does end with a joke that I laugh at.
Every time.
Yeah, every time I laugh at it, where he gets shot. So she's like going to pour booze on his arm, and it's like a wine. Mm-hmm. So she's pouring wine on his arm to clean the wound. Sticks a dog toy in his mouth to bite on. So then when she pours the alcohol, he bites on it, and then he said,
it's funny.
That's silly.
I almost laugh in spite of myself. That's a good joke.
You just like sticking a dog toy in someone's mouth.
That could be it. A new fetish is born. Who knows? We'll have to check the Pornhub searches to find out.
Oh, I'm sure there's dog toy porn out there.
Yeah, but will there be a boost, though? Like a 120% boost in dog toy search results?
We'll
that's what we're going to have to do the research on, Drew. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Send the research department on it.
So many dogs are going to be upset.
Yeah, where'd my dog toy go? And I was like, here, take this one to give it the dildo instead. Here, play with this instead. I'm swapping out the dildo for the dog toy.
It's slobber.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now, the whole new turn. No, whole new... Never mind.
It's also coming out this weekend.
It's good to be here.
That's going to get really bad. This is a family show. Drew, go ahead.
Also coming out this weekend.
I'm going to have to bleep out that entire conversation.
Alex Garland's Annihilation.
All right, let's see if this is any good. The early reviews are actually pretty solid, Drew.
The trailers, at first it baffled me. Then, after seeing it so many fucking times, because goddamn, they've marketed the shit out of this movie. At least to me.
They've shown the trailer a lot.
I just want it done and over with. I want to see this thing.
You want to see it and get it over with?
Yeah.
This one, Natalie Portman is in the lead, Leslie. Yeah. And she is a biologist leading a team of scientists.
All ladies.
Another one is Jennifer Jason Leigh, which is awesome.
Another one is Tessa Thompson.
Is it Tessa Thompson? Mm-hmm. Love Tessa Thompson. Man,
she's been in everything lately.
Yeah, good. That's good. Valkyrie, right? She's great as in Thor. There's like this alien presence of some sort, and it's taking over a piece of wood. So they're going into it to see what's going on, and like nature's blowing all. I don't know. It's based on a book.
What was that Amy Adams movie recently with the alien thing?
Arrival.
Yeah, that seems a lot like that.
It seems like an action version of that. Yeah. Actually, it seems like if you took Arrival and then mixed it with The Happening. That Mark Wahlberg movie.
And then took out all the stuff about language.
Took all the stuff about language.
Because all Arrival was a movie about language.
And then you replace Mark Wahlberg with Natalie Portman, which is an upgrade.
Oh, definitely.
Guys, you hear about these honeybees?
Shut up, Mark.
I hope it's good. Annihilation. Are we even going to get to see it? We'll be in the... If we want to see it this weekend, it's going to cost us like $22 a ticket.
So be it.
I have an AARP card.
I mean, Friday night, bro. What are we doing?
We got what?
I have an AARP card.
What are we doing on Friday night?
What are we doing on Friday night?
What are we doing? We're going to go see Annihilation?
You could go to my comedy show.
Oh, no, we can't.
No, we're going to be in New York City this weekend. That's why I'm wondering if we're going to even bother seeing the movie. It's going to be so expensive.
That's a lot of money.
I want to see Annihilation.
What is this MoviePass thing? Isn't that a thing that...
No, $8 a month. But we couldn't sign up in time for MoviePass because it's taken them weeks and weeks to send out the cards because it's so popular now.
Right.
$8 a month gets you unlimited movies.
That's
although
insane.
They will throttle you, so you won't be able to see a movie a day. They will throttle you. But... And I don't mean like in the literal term. They're not going to send a guy to your house and choke you. But they will limit your amount of movies you can see.
That would be an interesting approach.
But you also get a subscription to Fandor, which is an indie film movie streaming service.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so you even get movies at home as well. So, sure, we got to sign up.
But $22 seems extreme.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but movie tickets in New York City are hella expensive. To the point where MoviePass actually doesn't work with certain AMCs in New York City because it's just too much money. They're losing their shirts on some of those theaters.
Wow.
So Annihilation, Drew, we got to go see it, but we got to figure out a time to go do it. All right, time for our prescription for life from the doctor himself, Dr. Drew. You ready?
Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strange, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Here we go. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, I had no idea that Black Panther was going to make as much money as it did. Mm-hmm. And I was going to tell people to go out and see this tiny little movie called Black Panther that didn't make enough money because it was way too awesome. But it made way too much money. So, I mean, I guess go see it again. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I don't really have anything else.
Go see BP again. That's it.
I guess. Cogburn out.
Cogburn out. All right. There we go, guys. Thank you very much.
Million.
I know, that's so much money. Oh. That's crazy.
What the hell?
That's a crazy amount of money. All right, let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. I grabbed a song from the Black Panther soundtrack, Drew, but not the Kendrick Lamar like music inspired by. It's practically a Kendrick Lamar album.
Yeah. I love Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
And he put out a whole album just based on the movie.
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
But then that's they also put out a score.
Yeah, they did.
The actual soundtrack by Ludwig Göransson. The blackest man in Hollywood, Ludwig. No, he's obviously not black. But he is the same guy that Ryan Coogler used.
He sounds like he's almost clear.
Yeah, right. He would be so like he's translucent. But he's the guy who Ryan Coogler used for the Creed soundtrack. And that's a great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
This one's really good. Obviously using a lot of like African rhythms and stuff like that. Very, very cool. So check out this song. It's a short one. And it kind of sounds like the beginning of The Lion King. But then it gets into the doing the shoulders thing.
The
shoulders thing. Just the shoulders. If you see the movie, this makes sense. Yeah, just like that.
Yep.
Just like that.
That's all it is.
It's very intense when they start doing that. When a whole group of people start just dipping their shoulders up and down, watch out.
Shit's going down.
Got some ritualistic shit is about to go down. Hardcore. Guys, check out the song. And we'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Leslie Joe. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys, how's it going? Second half of the show is on the way. Pour myself a drink this time. I got myself a vodka and not club soda. It's close enough. Sparkling water. Doesn't it feel weird, Drew? Don't you think it's weird if it's vodka and sparkling water as opposed to vodka soda?
Well, I mean,
it's still waters with bubbles.
Chris, I'm not the one drinking it. Why would I think it's weird?
Well, what's the difference in seltzer water and soda water?
Yes.
Quani?
That's tonic.
Tonic. But tonic has that stuff, and it's sugar. That's pretty much sugar. Like, yeah. Tonic water has sugar in it. It's sweet.
I don't want tonic.
No! I want delicious club sodas or sparkling waters. That's why I'm not drinking beers. which is a little rarer these days. But when I do drink a beer, I like it to be a nice, delicious craft beer, or maybe, I guess, a lime and PBR. I'm going to try that. Speaking of beer, Leslie, State of the Beer Union.
Yeah.
You are doing a beer show on PFT Media. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying listening to it with you and Ed. Etchy's producing. And you already had guests on, right? Like Adam Murray?
Adam Murray, yeah. He's a real good friend of mine. And then we had Vinny Morrissey from the distributor in SR Perot.
Which is a good, interesting interview. I think people should check that out.
Yeah, we're just kind of opening up people's eyes to what's actually going on in the industry.
Yep.
Because we just don't know. We don't know how or why these things end up in our faces. Like, you know, it's all branding and marketing for the most part. But I mean, if you know the ins and outs and the people that are dealing with it and putting it out there, you know, it adds a bit of love to it.
Yeah, things make more sense from the outside looking in then, and you have more of an appreciation of the beer and the beer industry overall.
Yeah. Our community members are putting their entire lives into this.
Right.
And their beers are representative. Either they're trying to make money,
mm-hmm.
or they're trying to create their dreams through craft beer. So.
Right. It's a form of, like, cooking is a form of art, you know? It can be artistic. You can just, like, if you want, you can just crank out a product that's just drink it and be happy with it. Or you can make something that's like, oh, look at these delicate notes, and I did this, and I did that. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for that, and that's what we're trying to push out there.
Very cool. And it's open mics that you host, right?
I do. Or I don't.
Or is
I
it
do
a comedy showcase? Or showcases? Excuse me. Pardon me.
Well, I mean, if I'm sure that most of your listeners are aware, but an open mic is basically you just show up and you get time and you put your name on a list and you go up.
And then if you're going to attend one, it's like a crapshoot. Someone could go up there. They could be great or they could be terrible.
I've ran an open mic before, and it's just for everybody to come and practice their stuff that they wouldn't want to do when they're on a booked showcase.
Right.
It's like, I run a room in Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
It broke all. Super cool place, kind of gentrified area, so it's safe there. But it seemed like the open mic that I ran, all of the comedians brought their prostitution jokes to my open mic.
And I think it's because of the location? They were trying to play to an area?
I don't know. I've never heard so many prostitution jokes ever in an open mic, and it just so happened to be mine.
They say you write about what you know.
I learned a lot about my friends.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Like, oh, so these are the guys that go to Backpage.com
but, on a frequent basis. Since then, I decided that my stamp is more on the showcases. I like it when it's booked people that I kind of hand select to be there.
It's curated.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're there because they fit within the group well, and they bring people that all work well together, so I don't really like to do open mics.
Very cool. I with that explanation, it makes more sense. How long have you been doing? You've been doing Broken Cauldron for a little bit now, right?
Since September.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Man, there you go. Already come up on half a year's worth of weekly show there. That's crazy. Yeah. And you're just getting started in DeLand?
Well, we did a show last week in DeLand. Dean Napolitano was my headliner. I co-produced that with Duncan Jay. And that show, like, to say phenomenal, that was an understatement.
Really?
It went really well.
Great. Awesome. You think it's because they're looking for that kind of stuff in the land's a little off the beaten path when it comes to like Metro Orlando?
I think it's kind of a perfect marriage because like I love beer, I love craft beer, I love people beer. This bar that in the Abbey Bar, they make meads. She brings in, they have 120 minute IPA on draft.
Wow!
Like they give a lot of a care and attention to good craft beer. All of their servers are Cicerone, which is, we talk about this on State of the Beer Union, but it's like sommelier for beer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I am just blown away that is one of their employment practices is they certify Cicerone.
Yeah, like every single one of them, really?
They all have that on their little patches.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
It's amazing.
Mead, Drew, they have mead, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
man. Love me some mead.
Anne-Marie makes it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's very cool. So, the Broken Cauldron show is Fridays.
Every Friday.
When is the Abbey show?
The last Saturday of every month.
Last Saturday of every month. Okay.
I got Charlie Bowie headlining next weekend.
Hey, Charlie Bowie, poking the bear. We love Charlie Bowie.
We love Charlie.
Go ahead and check that. He's a sweetheart. What a nice guy.
He's a good boy, sweet boy.
Wouldn't hurt a fly. Literally, he loves animals.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
He loves my dog. I have a dog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's plug the dog. What's the dog's name?
Duncan. His name on Instagram is This Idiot Beard.
This Idiot Beard. I follow This Idiot Beard.
We share an account. He's cuter than me.
It's a cute dog. Oh, I love a good dog pic. And then where can people find you online if they want to keep up in tabs?
www.ljcomedy.com.
There you go. Beautiful. Perfect.
I'm all on Facebook, Twitter, and all that. You know.
One-stop shop. Just go to ljcomedy.com for all your LJ needs.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Put all my shows and all that. It's kind of hard to update it all the time because I've got so much going on, but...
Yeah. That's when you gotta hire a personal assistant. That's what those are for. Yes.
Interns.
Get an intern. You wouldn't need.
Get up UCF. Fire the dog.
Dog's not cutting it. Hit up UCF. Say you need an intern.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
People, listen to the State of the Beer Union. And check out ljcomedy.com. Drew, internet plugs?
At Antihero419.
Yeah.
Some places.
All right. And where can you see your comedy?
I don't have any comedy.
Oh, come on.
You can listen to me weekly on Cinema Crespedisa.
You should go to an open mic.
You're pretty funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
I can be.
Do you need me to join you? What we'll do is we'll go to an open mic, sign you up, but then I'll stand up there, and then you can insult me. And then
that would be pretty...
That's a good portion of your comedy is from your disdain for just sitting here across from me.
They have an open mic tonight at Austin's Coffee.
Hey, you want to go, Drew?
Wait, you can just stand there while I insult you for 5 minutes.
And I'll drink decaf coffee, and then you can be like, look at this fucking idiot drinking decaf coffee.
I have a show tonight, too. Am I allowed to talk about that?
Please! This will be out this afternoon.
Copper Rocket.
Copper Rocket, right around here, Drew. Yeah,
9:30.
That's when it starts, or is that doors, or?
That's when the show starts. Okay. Yeah, it's a showcase.
Okay.
Ryan Holmes is on it. Tim Murphy is headlining it.
There you go.
So far past had that time.
So 2:30. Yeah, this guy goes to bed at
9:30.
Yeah, he's sad. Well, she's very sad.
I have to wake up at 4.
Is there a
gross?
Is That's there early. A door charge
it's
again?
Free.
Guys, go there and drink an OBP on tap.
It's free for you.
And check out some comedy. All right, very cool. At the Copper Rocket. Any other shows that you want to plug that's coming up?
Yeah, I've got my show on Friday at Broken Cauldron. Sure. Marcus Crespo's headlining.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, he's been on the show before. We'll be again.
He's
a
good dude. So that's going to be a really great lineup.
Did you know that they're brothers?
Oh, I was thinking that Marcus was your dad.
No. Distant cousins, probably. Gotta be second cousin, maybe third, for sure.
No, total blood relatives,
for sure. Yeah, we're on the same tree.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I don't know where the branches may be on the opposite sides of the trunk, but we're on the same tree. For
you guys are both doing really good things, so.
Oh, thank you very much.
Must be a good family.
Crespo's try to do well.
Yeah, so Marcus is on my show on Friday night at Broken Cauldron, and then at Abbey Bar on Saturday. Is Charlie Bowie headlining. And Dr. Anna Lepley and I are doing a comedy tour together.
Dr. Hoobabopoly?
She's a 35-year-old Dr. Anna Lepley. She's gay. She's a lesbian.
Okay.
And I'm straight, and we're both the same age. And so we're going to do a comedy bar beer tour because she wrote a book called Beer is Good for You.
Nice. From a doctor's perspective?
Well, she's like a nutritionist.
Even better.
So, and she's funny, she's a comedian, so she wrote this book, and she's going to be doing a seminar about it, and that's at 7:30 on Saturday at Abbey Bar, and then after that is when we're doing the comedy show.
Oh, so it's a double whammy.
And you can find us doing that in other locations, because we're touring.
You're going to take on a tour, that's awesome. What's Dr. Anna?
Lepley.
I thought that was one word, Anna Lepley. I thought you were saying, that's her last name. It's like, well, Anna Lepley is a crazy name.
She's so amazing.
I am Dr. Marcus Anna Lepley. Nice to meet you. Shout out to Marcus Crespo. All right, there we go. Plenty of chances to see Leslie Joy doing some comedy.
Yeah.
And there you go, guys. Check that out.
Life is good.
Follow us on Twitter at Crespediso, and then the Instagram and Facebook, Cinema Crespediso. Join our Facebook group, Cinema Crespediso. Check out the Crespo Hundo, where we're watching 100 new movies in 2018. Just 100 new movies to you. Black Panther was movie number 20 for me this year. Yeah, so I'm doing pretty good. Meanwhile, there are other people out there who are in like the 30s already, in the 40s. So
I think I've not watched more than two.
That is wild.
No life.
No, they're just movies are their life. Meanwhile, there are people doing the Crespo Hundo. They are themselves are on two or three, but they're doing it. So shout out to those people as well. You guys are awesome and gals. Not trying to be genderist here. Any other plugs? Oh, you know what? I'll announce it here. Perfect place to announce it. My Tuesday shows at the Cork and Fork Trivia is done. Dunzo, guys.
Oh.
It just wasn't working out after all this time. We tried super hard. We had some good nights. We had some bad nights. But it is over. So if you want to see me host Curtis Earth Trivia, one place only. Oblivion Taproom, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. It's a lot of fun.
I like trivia.
Trivia is fun. It's fun to host it. It's fun to play it. Honestly, it's an easy buck to host. And Drew, how many times have we gone and played trivia before I even started hosting?
couple?
More than a couple? Are you kidding me? We played more than twice.
A few.
Over in the Copper Rocket.
And a couple.
Over in the couple.
A few.
Drew's the Cogren vs. the World. Leslie, that sound means Drew's the Cogren vs. the World. People see me do trivia on Wednesday. That's different than plugs. That's the state of the Crespo Union right there.
Heck yeah.
Cork and Fork, done. Oblivion Taproom, going strong. This week's game, beer-related game, is called Real versus Fake.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to name a movie title that's a beer-related movie. You tell me if it's a real movie or if it's fake, if I made it up.
Okay.
Okay, Drew, you won last time, so you got to go first. We have two groups of five, A and B. What do you want, A or B?
I'm going to go with A.
All right, Drew, these five movies, are they real or fake? Number one, Beer World.
Fake.
That is correct. Number two, Drinking Buddies.
Real.
That is correct. Number three, Beer League.
Real.
That is correct. It's an Artie Lang movie. Number four, The Brewlympics.
Fake.
Correct. Number five, What? No Beer.
What?
Fake. That one's real. What? No Beer is a real movie, but he got 4 out of 5.
Not bad.
So here we go, Leslie. You ready?
All right.
Number one, real or fake, Strange Brew.
Fake.
Ooh, that one's real. Oh, that's a Rick Moranis movie.
Yeah, I was about to say John Candy.
Number two, Beer Belly.
Fake.
That is correct. Number three, Beer Fest.
True, real.
Yes. Number four, Three Drunks.
Ugh, it's probably real, but I don't think so. Fake.
That is correct. And number five, Frothy Mugs.
No.
That is correct. You guys tie 4 out of 5.
Oh.
Tiebreaker time. Here we go. So exciting. I love a good tiebreaker. All right. You guys each need a piece of paper. Piece of paper for Drew. Here you go.
All right.
And you have a pen, Drew? Pen?
I have a pen.
Okay. I'm going to go back a couple weeks to find a tiebreaker question. We did that one already. We did that one already, I think. Here we go. As per Rotten Tomatoes, how many movies has Matthew McConaughey appeared in? As per Rotten Tomatoes, how many movies has Matthew McConaughey appeared in? We're doing closest to the pin, and if you both go over, it's whoever is closest in that direction. Okay, I got Drew's answer, and I got Leslie's answer. All right, Drew, you said 36... Leslie said 15. The answer is 46. Drew Cogren wins. Well done, Drew. Can I have my pen back so I can write down? Hey, good job, Drew. All right. Applause there. But that was a close one, Leslie. Good job taking him to the limit with the tiebreaker.
I guess I just wish he wasn't in that movie.
Ah, he's been in a bunch. You know, it was a rough run for a while, but he's been in more good movies than bad lately, I would say.
I think that Magic Mike franchise was greatly improved when they removed him.
You think so? Wow.
Mike 2 is my favorite movie ever.
Man, people love Magic Mike 2, and I still have yet to see it.
Watch it on Descriptive Audio. I have a bit about that.
On Descriptive Audio, yeah. Really? They describe the sounds of the gyrations?
I have a joke that it says that I counted, they said the word undulate 87 times.
Sexy undulation. Brackets. Sexy undulating.
I have it on DVD from Redbox. I never took it back.
Nah, there you go. That's $60 well spent. You could have just bought it for real.
I make terrible decisions. I also own a VHS player.
I have a VHS player too.
Wow. It's my old VHS
yeah,
player.
Sure,
the thing is from 1982.
Oh, wow. I was born
works.
That year. But also, I bought mine within the last 5 years, so I make terrible financial choices.
Nice. Hey, go to Goodwill. VHSs are like 33 cents each.
Yeah.
So you can really stock up. And good movies, too. Like, legit good movies. I have Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back on VHS. Like, the original copies.
Too.
Yeah, those are... Keep them. Those are good.
I have those as well.
Excellent. Magic Mike 2. We've seen the first one. I liked Magic Mike.
It's a good movie.
And I wanted to see the second one, especially since so many people... It's weird how the reviews for it overall... haven't been fantastic, but the people who like it, like, love it, like, mind-blowingly love it, calling it a masterpiece, and...
It's a good it's story.
Like, it's super progressive, people love the story, and I just
the only thing that makes me angry, and this is something I realized, like, 2 years after watching it, is that on the soundtrack, they did not put Nine Inch Nails, I Wanna Fuck You Like an Animal, on the soundtrack.
But it's in the movie?
It's an integral part of the movie.
What happens is, it costs X amount of dollars to use a song in a movie, but then if you want to put that song on the soundtrack, then you got to pay even more money. And I'm sure something as popular as that song costs like just too much money for them to be.
It
able
really
to
upset
on.
Me.
I'm sorry. What you can do is go to Spotify, you take the soundtrack, and you make a list, and then you go to Nine Inch Nails. It's the downward spiral. You put it on. You just have to. You have to rig it yourself.
I just think it's a low blow to humanity.
Yeah. You know, I felt the same way when Baby Driver prominently features T-Rex's Deborah, and then it's not on the soundtrack. The only thing on Spotify, baloney. It's a live version of Deborah. It's not the same. It's not the same.
That's baloney.
That's what I'm saying. So we have some more complaints. Guys, let's get started with our homie. Not to be a bachelor much longer. Not as of 1 week. 1 week from today, it'll all be over. For our man, Billy D. It's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death.
Death
at the Movies. That's right, Drew. Death at the Movies is here with Billy D. You can follow him all over the internet at I Love Blood. But he's a nice guy.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I'm seeing Black Panther today at 5:30, so I can't review it this week.
Fair enough.
I'm super stoked for it, though. This week I've been running around like a madman getting prepped for next week.
Mm-hmm.
I've managed to watch Altered Carbon, though.
Oh, yeah, that's the new Netflix series with Joel Kinnaman.
And that shit is dope!
Oh, is it really now?
I'm curious about the books now. The world of Altered Carbon is really interesting and complex, and I'd like to have a better understanding. The basic idea is that humans have discovered an alien tech that allows them to store themselves digitally and be re-sleeved upon death into a new body.
Huh.
There are some interesting and super fucked up consequences to this, and it's on its own would be enough to propel a story forward, but Altered Carbon has so many more tricks up its sleeve. At its heart, it's a noir story, and very Blade Runner influenced, which is a bonus for me. More purple and pink neon lights, please. I recommend this. It's on Netflix. Stay cool, Billy D.
Yes, Netflix's Altered Carbon. The marketing has been intriguing for me.
I haven't watched it.
Me neither.
I've seen the trailer.
You seen the trailer?
The trailer, and I added it to my list.
And it's also, you know, like the thing, if you have Netflix, you pull it up, sometimes it just automatically starts playing something that they're pushing, and obviously you see Joel Kinnaman, he's laying on a table. Like you said, there's a lot of neon lights in it.
Yes, lots of neon lights.
It looks cool. I'll get around to it. Especially if Billy D likes it and gives it his seal of approval.
All my friends have been talking about it.
And y'all, in a positive way?
Yeah, everybody's just like, oh man, you have to watch this.
Is that what they're all saying? Oh man.
I mean, collectively on Facebook.
Well, that's good to know because due to Crespo Hundo, a couple people mentioned it. But technically, you're not supposed to be doing series for the Hundos, but I guess I'll let one or two slide.
Whoa.
Like a whole series? You gotta watch it. It's about movies, not series. Maybe next year we'll do something with series. This year it's all about movies. Maybe
yeah,
next year there won't
like
be a show.
A series.
The thing is, series is...
Series.
Is it series... Plural is just series, right?
SSS.
I think so. SSS? Isn't that a bad thing?
No, serious. No, it's SOS.
SOS. Save our souls. A whole series is like 10 hours, 12 hours, dedicating so much more time for one story. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Mm-hmm. It's not even a complete story. Sometimes you gotta wait for season 2.
I have a confession.
Confess away. This is the show for confessing
things. I binged watched Stranger Things season 1.
Uh-huh.
And I never made it past episode 5 in the second.
That's fine. You know what? The second season, not as good as the first season. Nowhere near as good.
Pretty sure I spent the first season mouth breathing. With my mouth open and my eyes in shock the whole time.
It's so good, right? I think they did a better job with the dynamic of the kids. in the second season, we all like the kids, right?
Yeah.
And then the second season, the kid with the curly hair, he's like, he's all about the stupid Demogorgon dog, so it breaks up the group. And then the introduction of the girl, like, fractures the group more. Like, we want the group to be together, not all split up.
I get
up.
Bored.
And it was boring. I thought the show, I thought it was boring. I loved the first season.
I did too.
When it came to the second season, like, when it was the first one, I was like, you want to watch another episode? When it came to the second one, I was like, do you want to watch another episode, I guess?
I got more excited about seeing the words Finn Wolfhard in the credits more than I did about getting excited about the show. Yeah. Just, I was like, man, that's an amazing name. I'm more excited about his name than I am what's going on the screen.
His parents did him a good service.
Like, that's a really good name.
That's a good name. Yeah. Finn. Assassin's already Wolfhard. His name Finn.
Finn Wolfhard.
He was great in It. Looking forward to It Chapter 2.
Yeah.
That's a fine confession to make. You're amongst not even a confession. No sins to be absolved. The sin is on the creators of Stranger Things.
I just was excited about it, you know?
We were all very excited about
because
it. Because
it was
at a fever pitch
so
of excitement.
Wonderful.
And then they set up this whole thing where it's like the old gods, this giant tentacle thing from another dimension was going to like invade. And,
the Upside Down. It was all weird.
Right. But then, like, you didn't finish the season, but I'm, at this point, it doesn't matter. They set it up like it's going to be a big confrontation or that they're going to try to stop it from happening. The season ends. The last shot of season two is like, oh, it's still there. Nothing's changed. It's the exact same as the beginning of, yep. Like, the opening shot of the series and the closing shot are
same
practically
thing.
The same.
Yeah. I think it was, like, the danger of Mad Max I didn't care about.
What do you mean?
Like, when he was driving all, her brother was driving all fast
and all
that.
Yeah, what
was up
with the brother storyline? The whole brother, it doesn't pan out either, the whole thing with that crazy brother. When the season is over, it's not like...
It just felt too dangerous.
It was just... It was a bummer. It was
a
real bummer.
A bummer.
Stranger Things 2 official bummer of 2017. thanks to Billy D for the review of Altered Carbon. Look forward to seeing you next weekend.
Sorry, I derailed that.
No, derailed. The show doesn't even... This show exists in the...
there are no rails.
It's in the train graveyard is where
no
it is. It was born off the rails. That's why.
We have tires.
Rails are terrible. Yeah, we have tires. We go where we want. We're the Jeep of podcasts. We go over this mountain and down the stream, and then we're like, look at this fire car. Drew.
Chris.
Let's do the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
There we go. Hit that button. You can email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com and we will read your movie reviews, questions, topic suggestions, life advice, queries, etc. We will do them on the show in this segment, the segment of the people. It's your segment. Here we go. Trista Cogburn, take it away.
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got Black Panther and Hostiles reviews.
All right, here we go. Black Panther and Hostiles.
Black Panther.
Black Panther.
I loved it.
All right.
Decent enough story, more than a few predictable moments, but forgivable. The story works.
Yeah.
Exceptional cast.
Yep.
I couldn't spot a single miss. Not one insert name would have been better in the whole lot. Every one of them fucking nailed it. Even the white guys. Letitia Wright as Shuri stole the show. And I love Wakanda. The sets and costumes are vibrant and luscious.
Yep.
I also really like the Wakandan tribal structure.
Yes.
How each seemed to have its own colors and function within this society, yet there was no caste system, no subjugation, all tribes were equal, even the estranged mountain tribe, who were their own kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was also glorious, as if every time Ryan Coogler asked someone, could this use a bit more Africa? And someone replied, nah, it's good. He added more Africa anyway.
Yeah.
Way to build a world, Mr. Coogler. Way to build.
Yes. Yeah, very, very African Wakanda, which is what makes it so amazing and cool.
Did they use the word luscious?
He did.
Great.
Yes. And he is right. It is a luscious movie.
That makes me want to watch it.
There you go. And just like the most beautiful men and women. They're all, it's, oh God. I love looking at this movie.
But what truly makes a great superhero movie isn't the hero, it's the villain.
Yeah.
Jordan's Killmonger was fucking amazing. And what made him amazing was, say it with me,
He was right.
He may be a little too radicalized to be good, but he is definitely right. And the movie does a great job explaining why and how he's so radical. A relatable villain is crucial to these movies, and this film definitely has one.
Yep.
I do wish that Panther suits had different properties / abilities. My fave is the purple one because, well, it's fucking purple.
It's purple.
Maybe such variances are yet to come. I believe in you, Shuri. Serious timeline question. Where does Black Panther fit regarding Civil War? Am I wrong to believe that the entirety of Black Panther occurs somewhere within the timeline of Civil War? To me, the story presented in Black Panther seems to flow rather quickly, much faster than that of Civil War. I find it hard to reconcile how T'Challa could witness his dad's assassination, but then put his own ascension to King of Wakanda on hold just so he could go fight with Captain America at an abandoned airport. I think despite the absence of the awesome purple suit, that the Civil War battle took place after Killmonger business was over. I say T'Challa came back to Cap after he had finished his own business at home. What say you?
Interesting timeline question for the Marvel movie diehards. I gotta say, the Marvel movie timeline is wonky. All these movies that they've established, they did themselves no favors with Spider-Man Homecoming, which has an opening scene that takes place in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But then it's like 8 years later, and now we're picking up the story, and they're like, wait a second, but then there's other things that happen. Their movies don't make any sense. It's getting to be like, well, it's a prime example of timeline wonky. So all the X-Men movies, they're timeline
wonky. I mean, hell, the Terminator movie is kind of wonky.
Yeah, for sure. But those are time travel movies at their core anyway.
But they're comic books, right? Yeah,
that's what you can lean on. Just say, listen, it's just a comic book movie. Sure, it's not going to add up.
Suspend your disbelief.
Yeah. Now you can ask people to suspend too much, and then that can be a problem. I have a problem with movies that feature magic, characters doing magic, that are supposed to be like real magic, because it's like, alright, first off, when I see a magician live, I'm suspending my disbelief, because sure. I know it's just an illusion.
Right.
I'm suspending that. It's like, oh, yay, magic. I clap my hands like a child. Yes, exactly. When I go see a movie, I know this movie's not really happening. I'm suspending my disbelief to enjoy the story. Now, if you want me to see a movie about a magician doing real magic, that's double suspension of disbelief. I've talked about this before on the show. So I don't know. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
And Hostiles.
Hostiles, this is a movie that had gotten no play. It's played in theaters like a month ago. It features Christian Bale with a huge mustache.
So awesome.
He hates Native Americans because it takes place in like the 1890s.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not like a 2018 movie. He hates Native Americans, but then he learns to love them.
Oh.
It's Dances with Wolves.
First off.
It's Dances with Wolves just in the 1800s.
1890s. When was Dances with Wolves? That was 1860s. Was it Civil War?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was around the same time.
Post-Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War.
First off, I'm calling bullshit on the runtime. No way this was 2 hours and 15 minutes. That motherfucker felt like 3.5 hours.
Okay, yeah. It's a slow movie.
It's so slow and dull.
I hate slow movies.
I like them, but it's got to be good, though.
Probably 65% of the film is just montage after montage of them walking on horseback.
A lot of all walking.
From New Mexico to Montana.
To be fair, when they're not showing them walking, though, they're showing them crying, so.
But never once do they even trot or canter, let alone gallop. Just walking. This journey must have taken months, if not a full year, and it's only when they stop to camp every night that something inevitably happens that we can call plot. I don't fall asleep in movies, but I was legit fighting the urge a lot on this one. It's beautifully shot, though, and the performances are good.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film unworthy of our time. It's just a slog getting through it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a metaphor about the Old West. But it's also really depressing. A fuck ton of people die trying to fill this venerable mission of returning a family to their home. And even that didn't end particularly well. You leave thinking, what was the point? One last thing. Along this arduous journey, many people died. People who had horses, and yet it seemed as if there was never an abundance of horses in any of these never-ending montages of them walking across the countryside. Just always one horse for every still alive person, plus one or two horses carrying supplies. That's it. There should be extra horses, right? What happened to the horses? Am I the only one who noticed this?
Very freaking out about the horses, Scott.
2.5 stars.
Oh my goodness.
They galloped away.
I'm about to say, the other one away or probably got slaughtered for food.
Yeah, listen, they're just horses. They're
animals. I would eat a horse if I had to.
You know what? They eat horses in other countries.
The world.
Yeah, all over the world.
I'm not going to starve.
But not here in America.
In other countries, they eat them because they want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Maybe you should. I want to eat some goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goat is the most consumed meat in the world. It's also goat is the first animal to be domesticated by man ever.
I like cheese.
Goat cheese is great. I love goat cheese. I have heard that a goat burger is like the best burger you can eat.
I can't even speak. I've eaten kangaroo.
Have you really now? Is that any good?
No. They put it in brown gravy.
Oh, so you're just tasting the gravy then.
Just tasting like beef.
No. Really, though? Just, like, lame. Beefy? Just kind of beefy?
They just, like, ooh, we have kangaroo on the menu.
But then we smother it in gravy, so do you even really know if it is?
Why not have it? And then the I would rather have kangaroo again under different circumstances.
Like a kangaroo steak or something, or, like let me know what I'm eating.
In a good way that, like...
Yeah, I wonder what's the best way to prepare a kangaroo.
I don't know.
Did you know in Australia there are more kangaroos than there are people?
No.
There are. So
you're
they
definitely
can,
a trivia person.
That is from trivia, absolutely. my point being that they can spare a couple of kangaroos.
If you have that many.
Grow up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not endangered.
The marsupials are acting like rabbits.
What about them? They got them big old feet. Like kangaroo wings. Would those be kangaroo wings? Some big old feet?
I don't know. I'm jealous of their pouch.
Are you, though? It's all mucusy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's like a pocket. Yeah.
It's just a built-in fanny pack. All right, here we go, guys. It is time for the movie news segment.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during
their
romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. We're talking about those celebrity beach bods, divorces, and marriages. Amy Schumer got married to a New York City chef. Drew, did you know that? Yay!
Don't care.
Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux have split. Aniston back on the market. Oh, shit. But first off, Leslie, we need a Justin Bieber update. What's up with the beeps?
Oh, he's an anxiety trigger for me.
Is he really? All right, there we go. That's what's up with the beeps. Triggers anxiety within.
All right.
He's such a horrible person.
But he's also like...
He's so cute.
But he's also with that super creepy cult-like pastor, though, up there.
Right, no, that's weird.
Yes! Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's taking all of his money. It's kind of awesome.
He takes all his girlfriends there to meet the pastor. All his dates are now church dates.
So weird.
That's not even true.
It is so true.
I think...
It is so true. Oh, my God. It's so weird.
Well, I'd like to see what he's doing in 5 years, because he's going to be the next Scott Stapp.
Oh, you think so? Ooh, what a fall.
He's got way too much money for that.
That would be a huge fall from grace. He's going to be more like the next Usher, where like everyone knows he has herpes, and then it becomes a meme.
Yep.
He's like, cougar, cougar, cougar,
oh. Cougar. That is a good song. Baby's a good song.
He's gonna go into the cougar range.
But for real, though, Amy Schumer got married. Did you know that?
I did not know that until right now.
It was a surprise marriage. In attendance, Jake Gyllenhaal. Apparently... Jennifer Lawrence was there sobbing. Sobbing.
That's a weird reaction at a wedding.
I always think it is too. My mom points out that at her wedding, her mother-in-law, my grandmother, my dad's mother, sobbing the whole time.
Tears of joy or of sorrow?
I don't think it was of joy.
I don't think sobbing is joy.
I don't think sobbing is necessarily joy, right? Jennifer Lawrence sobbing at Amy Schumer's wedding.
But I mean, is Amy Schumer like an honest woman now? Like...
Well, this guy is going to try to make one of her, that's for sure. Yeah. His name, Chris Fisher. Shout out to BYOCB, another beer podcast. But not that Chris
not
Fisher.
That guy.
He's already married. This is New York City chef Chris Fisher, who ate, apparently, the way to Amy Schumer's heart.
Is through her stomach.
Is through her stomach. So I'm fine with that.
Oh, good for her.
Good for her, too. I am a fan. She's got a movie coming out called I'm So Pretty, I think. And it's where... She plays a person in the beginning of the story. It's almost like that Shallow Hal type movie. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the story, she's very body conscious. And, you know, she's like struggling with the way she looks. And then she has some sort of accident, I think. And she hits her head. I don't know. And then she thinks she's like a 10. And so she goes about her life just thinking she's amazing. And
it works.
And it's a comedy. And I want to see it. I like Amy Schumer.
That's kind of like my life.
There you go. Look, I fake it till you make it. You gotta go
keep
through life thinking that you're the man. Look at me, I'm a Jason Momoa type person. That's why I'm growing the hair.
We're
I'm the
all,
next
we're
Aquaman.
All tens.
We're all tens. I'm practically an 11. I'm
anybody busting. Involved with PFT Media is a 10.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. Except for Steve Etchie. He's a 12.
He's a 12.
That's 100% a 12. That's why he's shirtless most of the time because he knows
it. He usually wears a robe.
He's like, or he wears a robe.
Oh, that's, yeah. That cranks up to 13 right
he
there.
He is shirtless under that robe. And if you say, let me see your tattoos, he will show them to you.
He likes to share his vape pen with me.
Does he? He's like, this is apple coconut pear cobbler. You can taste the Cool Whip.
Steve Edgy sells e-liquid, y'all.
Does he? He hasn't never sold me any e-liquid.
He has a business now.
I mean, on top of PFT Media?
Uh-oh, Chris.
Now we got a problem, Steve. We got to talk.
Oh, shit.
Real quick, here we go. Actually, speaking of Jennifer Lawrence, she's got this movie coming out, Red Sparrow,
where
she plays a Russian ballerina who was brutally raped and then abducted by the government and turned into an assassin. That's what the whole movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
Using her sexuality to bring in her targets. Mm-hmm. It has screened, Drew. People have seen it. Mm-hmm. Critics have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And the earlier word is...
Bueno?
It's bueno.
All right.
The movie Red Sparrow is a bueno movie. From the guy who directed Constantine, I Am Legend, and the last three Hunger Games movies.
Constantine, check, I Am Legend.
Even he admits that he fucked up the ending now. He says it now that he fucked up the ending of I Am Legend.
Is that Will Smith?
Yeah. Will Smith, yes. Oh, an adaptation of a classic short story novel. It's... short novel in which he adapted the first half of the novel like very faithfully.
Yeah.
And then the second half he's like, I'm gonna do my own thing.
Yeah.
And are. Now almost 10 years later he just did an interview where he's like,
I fucked up,
I should have just said the novel.
Huh.
So damn, that's what you get, guys. But apparently one of the things, a lot of the early reviews for this Red Sparrow movie, people are like, two things have been coming up in a lot of the reviews. One, brutal violence.
I'm cool with
very
that.
Very hardcore movie. Apparently there is a bone break in this movie that will stick with you for a while, so be
yes.
careful. The second thing, some people are like, where has this Francis Lawrence been?
Mm.
That it's kind of a elevating his game.
That's a good name, though.
Francis Lawrence, it's a fun name, right?
Two first
it's a good
names.
Name. Also, it is two first names. Also, his muse is Jennifer Lawrence. No relation. But between the Hunger Games movies and Red yeah. Sparrow now, they're combining to make multiple action movies together.
That's awesome.
Which is very cool.
And, I mean, it seems like Red Sparrow is maybe like the adult version of the Hunger Games. Because the Hunger Games was kind of pushed a little bit, you know, down.
Actually, it seems to be, yes, it is. And it also seems to be the adult version of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Of Marvel's Black Widow, because it's the same thing. She's a Russian spy. Mm-hmm. They use sexuality yeah. In the training and et cetera, et cetera. So, we mentioned this recently. We mentioned this in the bonus episode, Drew. Michael Fassbender was cast in Kung Fury 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know Kung Fury?
No.
Kung Fury.
Boom.
I have this poster right here. As you can see, there's a dinosaur. There's
laser
Thor,
raptors.
There's lightning. This guy. That's a Nintendo Power Glove. We were talking about that off mic.
Oh, that kind of looks like yeah. Napoleon Dynamite's brother.
It sort of does, right? Yes, mm-hmm. It actually does.
Yeah.
You got Hitler there.
Triceracop.
Oh.
You have a Barbarella.
Uh-huh.
Barbarella is riding a dinosaur and she has a machine gun. It's a very confusing poster when you really stop to look at it.
It takes a cop from the future to fight an enemy from the past.
That's yep. The tagline. This is for a poster for a 30-minute movie.
Oh.
Which is, it's an insane 30 minutes.
It's an insane 30 minutes. It takes place mostly...
You can do 30-minute movies.
30-minute movies, yes. Especially this one that is so off the wall that, like, once you start getting tired of it within 5 minutes, it completely switches up and it's something else entirely. No. But it takes place mostly in a alternate 1985 Miami, but it's like... the lawlessness. It is gang-ridden crazy Miami. So this guy, Kung Fury, is like the top cop, the guy with the headband. And he has to fight the Kung Fuhrer, Hitler, time travels to the 80s, but he has to time travel back to fight him, but he travels too far. It is. They have to hack time. It's crazy.
It
sounds like a really stressful 30 minutes.
It is an intense 30 minutes, but it's fun. It's all in the name of good
fun. A 30-minute movie, that's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea, but now what happened was this blew up when it came out a couple years ago. He put it out on for free on the internet, which was a smart move because it blew up. Everyone loved it. I saw it because I went to Twitter and I saw trending topics, hashtag Kung Fury. What is this? Clicked on that. It's like a 30-minute movie. Watched it immediately. I was like, this is amazing. I watched
David
it like,
Hasselhoff does the title theme.
David Hasselhoff does the theme. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. So it was so popular that he got a deal to make Kung Fury 2 and he's making a full-length, feature-length version. Well, that hurt it now. The 30-minute runtime was great. Will a 90-minute Kung Fury be bad?
It all depends on what they try to do with it.
What they try to do with it, exactly.
Like, 30 minutes to 90, maybe try a 60.
But that's the thing, though. They are making a movie to come out in theaters, so that has, it's a minimum
it has to be.
Minimum 85 minutes yeah.
Like,
with
by
credits.
Definition.
By definition, a feature-length film has to be an hour and a half. People feel gypped if it's shorter. You would have to throw sure. in like a short film in front of it. So will it hurt it? I'm interested to see if maybe it works better 30 minutes. Is that a better format than doing
the only
feature
way
length?
You know is to find out.
I mean, if
exactly.
He,
when
if,
the movie comes out, we'll find out.
If he's got 90 minutes worth of story, then
90 minutes worth of ridiculous. That's the thing. Police Squad, I thought, worked great in 30-minute increments. And then they're like, well, now let's make Naked Gun the movie. Can we expand it to an hour and a half? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. It works great. Peanuts, the Peanuts movies, the Charlie Brown movies, work great in 30-minute increments.
Not as 90.
Can you make a 90-minute movie out of it?
I don't care.
I mean, you can.
They came out with one, what was it, 2 years ago
Something like that.
2 years ago, they made a new Peanuts movie that was 3D animation, but still, like, old school, the spirit of it.
Yeah.
And it was great in that it was a Peanuts movie. It was Charlie
it's a
Brown.
Fun family thing.
It was perfect for families, but at 90 minutes, you could feel it being stretched.
That seems too long.
It was too long. It should have been no longer than 60. Definitely should have been 30. But anyway, that being said, Kung Fury 2 is coming. It's going to be feature length. We already reported on the show. It's going to have Michael Fassbender. Drew signing on to being Kung Fury 2.
Whoa.
He's going to be the bad guy, probably.
Maybe Fassbender will be the bad guy. Who knows?
So you don't know. It's not true.
No, Schwarzenegger's in the movie.
Oh, how about Schwarzenegger?
We just don't know what role.
That'll make it work.
Maybe he'll be
as
like...
that could be fun.
Maybe he'll be like a Thor-type character. He'll just be giant, ripped, and old.
Yeah, maybe he'll be some sort of like old... He could be an old god of some sort.
I'd like it if he was that Napoleon Dynamite's brother character.
That's the thing with the Kung Fury is so wild. He could be anything, and then they're just going to make it work.
He could be the dinosaur.
He could be like the police chief. Like, yeah. Kung Fury, you're spending too much money. Now go out there and, you know, give me your badge and your gun. But it's a, give me your badge and your gun because I'm now Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. I'm now on this side of the desk. I used to be on that side of the desk, but now I'm on this side of the desk. there you go. That's a free movie news, guys. Kung Fury is happening. Red Sparrow looks
interesting. I'm interested to know who your favorite male and female actors are.
Actors, interesting. All time or just working right now?
Right, all time.
All time.
Like, what comes to mind to you, like, as your favorite?
For pure acting ability, no one blows me away, and this may be a hack answer. No one blows me away more consistently than Daniel Day-Lewis.
What do you mean he's Daniel Day-Lewis?
I mean, I like, close my eyes, I can picture Bill the Butcher, or Daniel Plainview, or when he was in The Last Mohicans, all these very varied roles from the same
person.
Yeah,
he's talented.
Currently working now, I mean... God, I feel like it's like so obvious to say these things, but like Jennifer Lawrence does some exciting stuff right now. Yeah. Mother was one of the most like daring movies of last year, and she was like, "I'm gonna go for it. We're gonna make this a weird movie." And she has like star power.
Yeah,
and she's like, "I'm gonna use that star power to make something strange."
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Who do you have favorites? That would come to mind immediately?
Yeah, Jessica Chastain.
I love Jessica Chastain. Yes, I should have said Chastain. That's my answer. I'm taking your answer. You have to come up with a different answer now because
she
is so
Garfield.
Good. I love Andrew Garfield. He's so good.
I would marry him.
But yeah, what was the last thing? Hacksaw Ridge, Mel Gibson. I told you Mel Gibson's
back.
He
was also in what is that? Good Homes, I think it was called.
99 Homes.
99 Homes.
We saw that with Michael Shannon. Yeah.
Michael
Shannon.
Shannon's awesome.
He is a favorite. Love Michael Shannon.
But that was all based on Orlando's...
It was on the housing market and the flipping going on here.
But it was filmed in Louisiana.
Which was such bullshit.
None of those houses look like ours.
No, it's weird. I'm looking at the neighborhood. I'm like, what neighborhood is this?
That's an important movie, I think, that everybody should watch, especially if you live here.
Yeah, and even to kind of give some perspective on the crisis and what happened. It came out pretty close in time, too, Drew. We talk about this. So it would make a great double feature, 99 Homes and The Big Short, which also has scenes.
Those are both very difficult to watch, just as a human, because that's our reality.
And it's, how has greed destroyed us and destroyed our neighborhoods and whatnot, yeah.
But they're both important.
They are very important. Andrew Garfield's great. I saw him in this... There was a trio of movies made for BBC those are just years. So one is called, like, I think... And I can't remember. So I think one is called 1971. One is called, like, 1984. But he's in the very first one where he plays a young reporter trying to get to the bottom of a story. And it tears him apart trying to figure this out. And it tears apart his life. And I'm like, who is this guy? This guy is fucking fantastic. Turns out it's Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, he did... Never Let Me Go. You ever see that one? That's a great one. It's him, Keira Knightley, and Carey Mulligan, and it's based on a Japanese novel that's a sci-fi novel, and it's directed by the guy, Mark Romanek, who did 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams, and it's about, it's a near future scenario, and people are, it's sort of a, remember the movie The Island, Michael Bay? It's that type of situation where people are grown
and then they live in a society where it's like just underground, they're kept away, and they're meant to be used as like
parts
for society as a whole. Whereas the island was like, this is my clone.
Yeah.
Never Let Me Go is more like, oh, these are just generic people that we grow and then keep so that we can then use their organs and their limbs for society as a whole.
God, movies are so fun.
They can be. They can
Stories be, are cool.
They can be very joyous and fun. And there are reflections of the world around us, you know, which is why Black Panther is just a comic book movie about a superhero. But it's talking about border disputes and refugees and what is our obligation to the world, to the globe as a whole. Also, what is it to be black in the world? You know, Wakandans like see themselves as like, we're Wakandans, we're isolated, but then other black people are like, yeah, but what about us? You know, we could use your technology, man, to fight the oppressors. Parentheses, white people, close parentheses.
And the colonizers, Chris. Yeah, the colonizers.
I'm gonna start calling white people colonizers. That's a lot of fun.
Don't touch anything, colonizers.
It's still not the same. The colonizers will never be reduced to the C word because it's still not the same. Like, oh, you can't call me that. Like, what? It's a position of power? Ooh, ooh, my bad. You had power back in the day, colonizers.
I've never colonized.
You never colonized nothing?
Not myself personally.
You think so? You colonized an apartment, I'm sure, once or twice. Yeah. Like, this is mine. I put up my shower curtain. It's like our modern version of claiming land and putting up a flag is hanging up your shower curtain and be like, that's my shower curtain, right, Drew?
My shower.
Right?
Close it when you're done.
And yes, exactly. I don't want people seeing my stank. all right, that's it for your movie news. That means it's time to wrap this thing up. We're going to time to land this thing. What should we do with the lightning round?
Wait.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
That's right, Leslie. Oh, I got it. What? Hey, there we go. I have 10 questions, and I need 10 answers from you.
Okay.
It is subliminal. We are going to learn something about you. It might be a little scary. Are you
ready?
Okay. All right. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, have you ever been to Paradise City?
No.
Number two, what are jungle fun and games?
Things on mushrooms.
Ooh, number three. Is a November rain warm or cold?
Cold.
Number four. What is the best way to knock on heaven's door?
Three times.
Number five. How far can the Rocket Queen go?
Around Uranus.
Number six. What happened in the spaghetti incident?
People got full.
Number seven. Is destruction appetizing?
Yes.
Number eight, where does the night train go?
To the night moose.
Number nine, top hats, yay or nay?
Yay.
And number 10, have you ever been to Montreal?
No.
Oh, okay, there you go. Drew, stop shaking your head. We have swag bags. Drew is going to get your head out of
ten
your
hand. 10 Guns N' Roses questions, Chris, really? 10 know. Guns N' Roses
I
questions?
I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know what you're talking about. We have a green bag. We have a green bag. We have a blue bag. Leslie, which one of these do you maybe want to go home with today?
The blue one.
All right, Drew, break out that blue bag and let's see what are the contents.
Guns N' Roses questions, Chris.
What?
You got a $3.99. Oh, marked down to a dollar. Why does it have two prices on here?
Because it's confusing, Drew.
So confusing.
It's Bible word search.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, you can look for words such as beheading. Seriously, beheading is one of the words in there.
Obeyed.
Is it preachy?
Is one of them.
Is it creepy?
Is fleeing. It preaching?
It's a little bit
preachy. Right,
look at some
advice,
of the words.
Ahmaz. Amasa. Betrayal. Troops.
Look up number 36.
Great line.
36.
I like 36.
Look up number 36.
Ezekiel's version of the temple.
I think it's 36.
David and Goliath. Beheaded.
Beheaded. Beheaded is a word.
Forehead.
Is there a glory hole?
Is glory hole one of the words? Yeah, you have to check the
glory hole.
Romans 12:22. He did find the glory hole.
In the glory hole.
And it was good.
On the seventh day, God created the glory hole.
God created the glory hole. And then the eighth day, he looked behind the glory hole and he was sad. And he was sad.
Come on, Adam.
You gotta
get out from behind there, Adam.
Cinema Crespediso DVD. Bootleg edition of Vampires?
John Carpenter's Vampires.
You feel like a real winner, you guys.
It is.
Because you are a winner.
I mean, you've also got a you have 2.75 ounces of Reese's miniature peanut butter cups.
It's really great because I don't have an allergy.
You peanut don't? Butter? Really?
I don't.
Perfect.
Good.
I never asked.
That's good. You've got a koosh ball with eyes.
Yeah, look at the eyes.
It's purple.
Wow. It's purple koosh.
There's also a nano metal fig. You have Charlotte Flair from the WWE.
Charlotte Flair! Woo!
It is 100% diecast metal.
100%
metal.
My
ex-boyfriend used to call me
a diva.
What was the guy that's always like
Ric Flair,
Randy Macho Man?
Geronimo Savage.
That's how he used to refer to me in a relationship.
He used to call you Macho Man. Go over your Macho Man. I want to see you naked.
You
yeah.
also have a Cinema Crush bootleg edition of the Blade Trinity.
There you go, Blade. Just that's the third Blade movie starring Wesley Snipes
And a bunch of stickers.
Leslie.
You're just giving me your copyright infringement.
All you can have all this copyright infringement. This is all yours.
Blatant copyright.
Blatant copyright infringement. Or we put that bag away and you never see it again. And instead you take what's in the box that we have right over here, Juicy Kyber.
Oh my god!
What's in the fucking box?
He's got the box. There we go.
What's in the fucking box?
Exactly. You know what's in the bag. You don't know what's in the box. Do you want what's in the bag or what's in the box?
Ooh.
Decisions, yes.
What's in the box?
That's the question, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I'll
you want to go with the box?
I'll take the box.
All right, go ahead. Pop open that top, reach in there, and let everyone know what is inside.
Do you guys know me already? I got hot sausages.
Yay, hot sausages! That's right, you're going, what is it exactly it says?
They're red hot pickled sausage.
Red hot pickled sausage from Bridgeford Food Court in Chicago.
If you only knew how much of my normal budget is spent on hot sausage.
It's spent on hot sausage? Well, then perfect. It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
You can ask pretty much anybody that knows me.
Fantastic. Well, Leslie, enjoy the hot sausages. Drew, make sure she gets some stickers as well.
I love some stickers.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you break up the big bang. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. And hashtag Team Killmonger. We will be back next week with a special episode of exactly what I'm not sure, but it's gonna be special. It will be special for sure.
Yeah. Riding in like being on PFT is like riding in first class.
Yes, it's like riding in first class. We are all beautiful. We're all tens in first class on PFT Media.
Except for Etchy, he's a 12.
Except for Etchy, he's a 13. Listen to State of the Beer Union. New episodes every Thursday. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it.
A PFT Media production.